Vapi shuvidruma tatashva malam ritapsu. Preshyan vita nijavane tulisi birisham. Abhyarchati svalakam unnasamiksha vaktram.
Abhyarchati svalakam unnasamiksha vaktram.
Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi. Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi. Vapishu vidruma tatashva malam ritapsu.
Vapishu vidruma tatashva malam ritapsu.
Preshyan vita nijavane tulasi birisham.
Preshyan vita nijavane tulasi birisham.
Abhyarchati svalakamunnasam ikshavaktram. Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi.
Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi.
Vapi suvidrum tatashvam alam ritapsu.
Vidrum tatashvam alam ritapsu. Prejan vita nijavane tulasi birisham. Abhyarchati svalakam unnasamiksha vaktram. Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi. Vapishu vidruma tatashva malam ritapsu. Uccheshitam bhagavate jamatanga yachchi. Ladies? Oh, okay, go ahead. Yes. Vapishu vidruma tatashva malam ritapsu. Preshyan vita nijavane tulasi birisham. Abhyarchati svalakam unnasamiksha vaktram. Uccheshitam bhagavate tagyachri. Ladies. Vapishu vidruma tatashva malam ritapsu. Preshyan vita nijavane tulasi birisham. Abhyarchati svalakam unnasamiksha vaktram. Vapishu. In the ponds. Vidruma. Made of coral. Tatashu.
Banks.
Amala.
Amala.
Transparent.
Transparent.
Amrita.
Nectarian.
Apsu. Water.
Preshanvita.
Surrounded by maidservants.
Nijavane.
In her own gardens. Tulasidhi.
With Tulsi.
Isham.
The Supreme Lord.
Abhyarchati.
Worship.
Su'alakam. With her face decorated with tilak.
Unnasam.
Raised nose.
Iksha.
By seeing.
Vaktram.
Face.
Uchcheshitam.
Being kissed.
Bhagavata.
By the Supreme Lord.
Iti.
Thus.
Amata.
Thought.
Anga.
O many gods.
Yasri.
Whose beauty. The goddesses of fortune worship the Lord in their own gardens by offering tulsi leaves on the coral-paved banks of transcendental reservoirs of water. While offering worship to the Lord, they can see on the water the reflection of their beautiful faces with raised noses, and it appears that they've become more beautiful because of the Lord's kissing their faces. Purport. Generally, when a woman is kissed by her husband, her face becomes more beautiful. In Vaikuntha also, although the goddess of fortune is naturally as beautiful as can be imagined, she nevertheless awaits the kissing of the Lord to make her face more beautiful. The beautiful face of the goddess of fortune appears in ponds of transcendental crystal water when she worships the Lord with tulsi leaves.
Om Jnanati Nirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Manita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Stam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Pandho Tushite Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Gopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyerevacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Vapi shuvitruma tatashvam alamritapsu. Preshyan vita nijavane tu desibir isham. Abhyarchati swalakam unnasam ikshavaktam. Uchte shitam bhagavate chamatanga yachtri. Further description is given here of the spiritual world. Lakshmi Sahasra Sipasam Brahma Sevyamana. There are innumerable goddesses of fortune. And their beauty is described here, or mentioned here. And their abodes also. Vapishu vidruma tatashu amalamritapsu. These are opulences. Generally, people can't afford to have gardens with ponds and so many things. Only the wealthier section. Either the wealthier people or the people living in villages. It's a paradox that if you want to live like a wealthy man, you either have to have a lot of money so that you can have an expensive estate, or you have to live in a village where all of these things are naturally available. In the villages, you find nice ponds of water, flowering trees, everything, natural beauty, birds singing, fruits, so many things. Or if you're very wealthy, you can afford an estate with these things. But if you come and live in the city, like an ordinary man, you get nothing. You get to live stacked up. Because from the economic point of view, land in the city is very expensive, so you have to make the most use of it. So you stack everybody up like paper cups, one on top of another. You build the building so many stories high, and everyone gets to live in a slab in one of these buildings with no property, no beautiful ponds of water, no birds singing in parks and gardens, just concrete in every direction. Big housing development, and some little squares with some grass, not much more than that. So that's not Vaikuntha by any means. That's the anxiety-ridden city environment, full of, instead of birds, you get trucks. If you get birds, they're generally pigeons, which are useful for passing school everywhere, but otherwise not particularly appreciated. So here, beautiful ponds with coral on the banks. Coral is considered like a semi-precious thing. The banks of the river, banks of the ponds are paved in coral. Real coral, not plastic or imitation stone coral, actual coral. And the ponds are very amala. They're spotless, not like the polluted bodies of water we're accustomed to. Amala, pure. And amritapsu, the water is just like nectar. What is that in Brahma Sangeeta? It's mentioned at the end. Do I have it here? Probably not. Drumad homishchintam nikana lai toya magmata. Toya means water. The water is just like nectar. The land is Chintamani, the trees are Kalpavriksha trees, all the speaking is singing, all the walking is dancing. This description is there in the Brahma Sangita. So the nectarian water is there. And Prajanvita, goddesses of fortune, have their own maidservants also. Another feature of opulent life. The wealthy people, they may have maidservants. Only the very, very wealthy. The ordinary people can't have such opulence. So Prajanvita, maidservants are there. Nijavane, in her own garden, not a public garden. Nijavane, she has her own garden. And Tulasibhir Isham Abhyarchati, and she's worshipping the Lord with tulsi leaves. The tulsi is very dear to Krishna, so Krishna is worshipped along with the tulsi leaves. There are many Shastric statements glorifying the tulsi, simply by seeing, simply by touching, simply by hearing about, simply by pouring water on the tulsi plant. One lives eternally in the spiritual world. This is the statement of Shastra. So the tulsi is probably a necessary paraphernalia for worshipping the Lord. And so the goddess of fortune is also worshipping the Lord, Isham, the supreme controller. Not that because she's the goddess of fortune, she's got her own garden, she's got maidservants, so she'll loll about and enjoy, hang back, and relax. She's also engaged. Some Brahma Sevyama, very much engaged in the service of the Lord. Abhyarchati. In the worship of the Lord. Svalakam unnasam iksha vatram. And her face is very beautiful. You don't find anyone ugly in the spiritual world. The goddesses of fortune are so beautiful that they're compared to lightning in the sky. And by comparison, the wives of the demigods, who are the most beautiful in the material world, are not very attractive. But the goddesses of fortune are so beautiful. Iksham, but so when she's worshipping the Lord by the side of the pond, with its crystal clear water, she sees her face in the water. And it appears that they become more beautiful because of kissing by the Lord. Ucchaishitam Bhagavata. How fortunate is the goddess of fortune that she's kissed by the Lord himself. People are trying to get even some little sign that the Lord exists. Can you show me God? Can you prove that God exists? How do you know that there's God? These kind of questions. But the goddess of fortune is being personally kissed by God. She's not wondering, does God exist? Can you prove to me that God exists? God is personally embracing her and kissing her. That's described here. There are different relationships with the Lord, as we discussed yesterday. And one of them is the conjugal relationship, amorous relationship. So in that relationship, in different relationships, the Lord is acting differently. With the coward boys, he's jumping on their shoulders. He's smacking them with his flute. He's playing games with them. So many types of fun, herding the cows. But with the goddess of fortune, kissing, embracing, amorous activities. And it appears that the goddess of fortune, although already so beautiful, becomes more beautiful being kissed by the Lord. These are transcendental loving exchanges between the Lord and his spiritual energy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this dynamic exchange is described. Kaviraj Goswami says that being enlivened by the gopis, the Lord becomes more attractive. And when the Lord becomes more attractive, the gopis become more enlivened, and so they become more attractive. And when they become more attractive, then the Lord becomes more enlivened, and he becomes more attractive. When he becomes more attractive, they become more enlivened, they become more attractive. And so it's anandamayi garden. It's the ocean of bliss that increases. It's the ocean of bliss that increases. In the material world, it all deteriorates. The woman is very beautiful and the man is very much enlivened. But gradually the beauty wears off. And or once they get married anyway, he sees that all the beauty is put together with various kinds of creams and powders and that kind of stuff. So there are two faces. In English, if a person is a liar, or if you achieve it, you call them two-faced. And he presents one face to you, but his real face is another. Anyway, women, by their nature, they're given one face, but they make themselves another one. After a while, neither one may seem very attractive. Because the material energy deteriorates everything. But the goddess of fortune is eternally attractive. Material bodies, ultimately, whatever attraction is there in the material body is sort of a mental concoction. It's made to look good. By some mental concoction, we wear a certain kind of clothing, we wear a certain kind of makeup, we walk a certain way, we talk a certain way, and we seem to be something. Whether it's sexually attractive, or a man looks strong, he's a powerful leader, he's assertive, he's confident, da 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 da. And that wears off also after some time, and finally becomes a shaky old man. Because it's all based on this body. And the body is, by nature, shot through with deficiencies. So any joy, any attraction, any life based on this body is based on illusion, based on something that's all going to dwindle and die. And therefore, anyone who makes his body the center of his life is a fool. That's a fact. But in the spiritual world, the body and the soul are the same. The bodies are made of spiritual energy. So the beauty of the goddess of fortune, or the beauty of any of the Vaikuntha inhabitants, never fades. It never deteriorates. We read that when Krishna comes to this world, he never gets old, because his body never deteriorates like that of an ordinary human being. Similarly, the goddess of fortune never becomes old. She never becomes an old woman. She's eternally youthful, eternally beautiful. And her beauty increases by contact with the Lord. The example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that the Lord is like a sapphire jewel, and the devotee is like gold. So the combination of the sapphire and the gold appear very beautiful. In the jewelry business, just a sapphire or a diamond, just a gem, on its own is not, it's something, but it's not the ultimate. It's attractive, a stone. But the real art is to place the stone in a beautiful setting. When they say take that same diamond and put it in a beautiful ring, then it sells for so many thousands of dollars. Just the diamond by itself, all right, it's valuable. But it doesn't really look so beautiful until it's put on a beautiful setting. Women don't just wear diamonds around their necks, hanging on a string, or wrapped around their fingers on a string. That doesn't make it. It has to be set in a beautiful setting. And that's what the jewelry business really is about. It's getting these beautiful gems. And then the main thing is how you set them in a beautiful setting. Then it looks attractive. So the Lord is like a sapphire, the devotees are like gold. And when the Lord is in the company of his devotees, then he looks particularly beautiful. So this is the nature of the Lord. He's always beautiful. His devotees are always beautiful. But in the exchanges between the Lord and the devotee, both the Lord and the devotee become more and more beautiful. But one who wants to be beautiful, forget this material world. Then some beauty, not much. And that also by artifice, by some concoction. But the real beauty is there in the spiritual sky. Okay, are there some questions? Yes, Francis.
Is there any other different term that you can use?
Different?
Terminology you can use apart from this word, term kissing. Because in our setting, when you say that the more a husband kisses his wife, the more beautiful she becomes. Now, could that be just the literal meaning, or there is also the deeper meaning apart from the literal one?
No, it means kissing. You know what kissing is. Everybody, we all know.
Because that one, someone might be tempted to kiss the wife all the, just with an aim of making her beautiful.
Well, that goes on in the material world. The man wants to see the beauty of the wife, so he kisses the wife and the wife's face lights up.
So the more she is kissed, the more beautiful she becomes.
I mean, up to a point, you know, if you spend after 18 hours of kissing, she probably gets into the sauce.
In the material world, everything has its limits. Yeah.
And you say that waters from the source of River Ganges are never contaminated.
Yes.
And as the river flows down, it's like it is contaminated along the way. I don't know how true that is and what.
No, it picks up all sorts of junk. That's a fact. But still, the Ganges is considered pure. Even though it has junk floating in it, it's still considered pure. And people bathe in the Ganges, even in Calcutta, which is, you know, way down, far away from the origin of the Himalayas, and after the water's passed through factories and so many things. Still people bathe in the Ganges, and they maintain good health.
So, is that
a
symbolic expression of the
It's hard for me to hear from up here.
What I'm saying is that the person who stays closer...
Who stays closer?
Closer to the spiritual person or the spiritual master becomes more pure.
Yeah, that's also true.
It's not just an allegory here that this symbolizes that. It's meant literally. Krishna is there. Goddess of Fortune is there. Their exchanges of love are there. So it's literally true. But it's also true in other forms of spiritual activity. The cowherd boys become more beautiful when they're playing with Krishna. The Yashoda Nanda become more beautiful when they're serving Krishna, which of course is all the time. The disciple becomes more beautiful when he's engaged in the service of the spiritual master. So all of these things are true.
And how often should somebody be sincere?
How often?
Should somebody be sincere, for example?
Someone who's in...
Who has gone undergone some initiation.
I can't hear.
Initiation.
Someone who's gotten initiation. Yeah.
Yes. How often should he...
How often should he come closer to the spiritual?
Every day.
Every hour. One comes closer by service. It's not just by physical proximity. It's by serving the instructions of the spiritual master. That he should do all the time. Yes.
In Vaikuntha, children produced.
Are children produced in Vaikuntha? No. Because there's no birth. Even if there are children, they're not produced, they're eternally existing.
Okay. In this question of Vaikunth walk, one relation with the Krishna, Lord Vishnu, or with devotees also. The relation between devotees and Lord and between devotee and devotee. The relation between devotee and devotee.
Yeah, this relationship between devotee and devotee, so their relation is based on serving the Lord together. So it's described, is it in earlier verses, that the Vaikuntha denizens are riding in their airplanes with their wives. Huh? We've read that.
Yeah.
They're riding in the airplanes with their wives. And the wives are, as I say these days, drop dead gorgeous. They're just absolutely beautiful. They're like lightning. So gorgeous. They have
big hips and smiling faces and all the features of physical beauty. But there's no sex desire. Normally, I mean, even if a guy's riding with a girl in a beat up old car in the evening, it becomes like a romantic occasion. But here, they're alone in this airplane, like a private airplane, which is not one of those airplanes. It's going on spiritual energy, and it's so nice. And it's flying not through clouds and fog, but through the spiritual sky. And the whole atmosphere is filled with the aroma of fragrant flowers and beautiful sounds of birds and bees and music and so on. And there they are. He's gorgeous, she's gorgeous. What an opportunity. But they're not interested in material enjoyment. They're interested in serving Krishna, that's all. Well, that's the relationship is there. Husband is there, wife is there. But they're not interested in sex enjoyment. That's not their interest. They're interested in service. Materialists, even in this material world, the gross materialists, their whole thing is looking forward to sex. That's like, ta-ta, that's the big thing. But for the Krishna conscious grihasthas, that's not what life is for. When is the next opportunity for sex? When is the next opportunity? They're getting pleasure by serving Krishna. Husband is serving, wife is serving. But the pleasure comes from serving the deity, serving Krishna, not from gross sex and drama. So that mentality is perfected in the spiritual world.